from Isaiah chapter 58. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed grow free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Through these last few weeks, I've been thinking and praying a lot about how the world around us is behaving. We, the people, are treating each other in abominable ways. From reading and watching institutional media and social media, it is unbearably clear that one of the core values, one of the basic tenets of our faith, and just about every other faith, treat other people the way you want to be treated. This core of human interaction is being almost totally ignored. We seem to have decided that the common good is no longer a value that matters to us. And therefore, we are free to viciously attack anyone that says something that in some way might make less for us and the people we care about. We've been here before, this place where we dwell in the depths rather than searching for the light. Human beings, I mean, have been here before. History is full of stories where entire groups of people who believe a certain thing or act in a certain way have been under attack, dehumanized, as if their lives matter not at all. How do we get to the other side? It begins with the listening. We know that. We know that deep inside. We have to hear one another. Parker Palmer says this thing about chutzpah and humility. He says, you have to start by believing you have something to say and believing that it could be that you are wrong. The characteristics of a person willing and able to engage life in the public square include confession, a decision to believe and admit that we have flaws in need of correction too, and courage, the willingness to decide to walk in a new way, no matter the risk, because we have faith that it is God's way. And if we're not sure which way is God's way, these words from Luke and Isaiah, they help us to see what God's way looks like. Confession is part of the equation because we need to remove the pointing of finger from the way we're living our lives. One way to really do that is to recognize the truth. I don't know if your mom taught me this, but my mom did. That if you're pointing your finger this way, there are three fingers pointing back at you. There is evil in the world. And when we see that, we can't effectively control it without seeing that we have it in us too. Think about who Jesus was. The child of a poor mother who had to run to Egypt for his life, who talked and ate with people that other people thought were unclean and inappropriate and beyond redemption, who died on the cross between criminals. Is there any doubt that if Jesus lived today, people would be pointing their fingers at him? All we would see would be the headlines, the surface. We would miss what is underneath. And if we do not confess our own unwillingness to judge others by more than what is on the surface, we too miss the humanity and the Spirit of God in each other. The healing that the passage in Isaiah lifts up, the kind of healing that satisfies our needs in parched places and helps us to be repairers of the breach and restorers of the streets to live in. This is healing that comes from caring about the common good, from confessing where we've gone wrong and having the courage to stand up for the afflicted, to stand with the oppressed, to feed and house the hungry without homes. But courage in the service of Christ is more than just gritting our teeth and doing the right thing. Courage in the service of Christ is putting love first in our lives. There was a man named Father Stan. He lived in Guatemala at the time when there was great political unrest, and he stood with people. And he maintained worship, and he helped them make a hospital and find scholarships for kids to go to school. He was from the American church, and when things got too violent there, they pulled him back to where he came from in Oklahoma. But he couldn't stay in Oklahoma because the love in his heart was connected to those people and their pain. And so he went back just in time for Easter to proclaim the resurrection, that no matter what, we have life in Christ, and we can be people of courage. There are still children who grew up from those scholarships that are teachers and human rights lawyers and even the mayor of the town. Sometimes we hear stories like that and we think, well, if that was what was happening in my life, if I was called like that, I would know to be courageous. We have a chance every single day to be courageous. We have a chance to pray for those people that are in pain. We have a chance to speak up when we're hearing unloving conversation surrounding us. We have a chance to stand for the people that aren't in the room when the decisions getting made will hurt the people that aren't in the room. We need courage to stand with people in our lives who are put down and treated with hate and rage instead of the love that they need, that God created them to give and receive. I received a note from someone this week about a chance that she had. She's a teacher, and one of her students is a young Muslim woman who wears a hijab. She said that she rarely spoke in class, and she was concerned about her. And then the Paris attacks happened. And she tried to think of what to do, so she wrote her an email and said, "I think you mentioned that you have an uncle in Paris. Is he okay? And I want you to know, if anyone's giving you a hard time, you can come and talk to me. The young woman came in. She said that she had been afraid that everyone would look at her as if she was part of this pain and hate. She said that she'd wanted to go to the September 11th service, and she was afraid everyone would think, "What are you doing here?" When in reality, several hundred Muslims died that day. The teacher said, "Next time you want to do something like that, call me. I'll go with you. We don't have to be alone. Courage is not an individual thing. We can do it together. We can be together in standing for people who are in pain, who are put down. We need the healing that comes from understanding that anybody's pain is my pain. That without healing for other people, my world will still be broken too. Any healing that comes to me includes other people in the depth of my being, where the idea of being a spring whose waters never fail comes from. When we fail to open our hearts, to reach out with courage, we lose a part of who we are. We need to be challenged, to ask ourselves, what part of my day, what part of my life, what part of my time is spent considering and praying and acting for people beyond my family, my town, my country? What part of us is truly connected beyond the boundaries that we have? Where do I need to leave my comfort zone to go where God would have me go? This journey to bring our confession and our courage forward in service in Christ is not easy, will never be easy. But when we make the decision to let our faith bring us the character we need, we know with all that we are, we will not be alone. Christ is in us and with us and through us. This day when we celebrate communion with the whole world, we are remembering that we are beloved children of God who walk in faith in Jesus, who reach out in love of him with all that we are, with all that we do. In Jesus' name.